Man, welcome back to Church Online, man. We've been in the book of Jonah. We're getting really close to wrapping this thing up. But man, we've been on this wild journey. And what we're finding is, you know, God sent Jonah to Nineveh, a city he didn't really want to go to. And the next thing you know, he flees from God. So you can't run from God. That becomes obvious. And all of a sudden, God prepared a great whale to get him. And Jonah dies. And doing business with God in this death process, eventually he resurrects. God gives him a second chance. God sends Jonah back to Nineveh. He says, rise up and go. Do the business, man, that I've called you to do. And so he goes, and lo and behold, we see the largest revival ever, man. We see thousands and thousands, a great city of Nineveh. They turn and repent, and Jonah is not happy. And this is where we've really been the last couple weeks. Is, you know, before the book of Jonah, I did a series on mental health. And my gosh, I couldn't believe how much friction it has caused because it's such a real issue. Because, you know, the hardest thing in life is really the mind. That's why Jesus came to rescue the human heart. This is where, you know, the seed of our emotions are inside of here. And man, and then God gave us a book of facts. And man, we struggle. We struggle with mental health today, and yet God provides a way for you and me. He gives his son, Jesus Christ, to cleanse us from our sin. He gives us a church, a group of people to do life with. He gives us the Holy Spirit inside, man. And then he gave us his word. You know, we got like all these tools to really even to find joy in the midst of sorrow. And boy, people just struggle, man. They don't want to take it. They have a very hard time with this. And this is what we're finding with Jonah. Because we've seen that he's mad, man. We're in Jonah chapter 4. He's displeased with God. He's happy where he's sitting. He's very angry, the Bible says. His emotions start to take control over him. But then last week, we really focused on the Lord's position on this. It says this. Jonah says, for I knew, in verse 2, Jonah 4, 2, I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful. You're slow to anger. Of great kindness, you repentest of the evil. All these super characteristics of our God. And Jonah still wasn't about to have it. We see in Jonah 4:3, even knowing God is all of these things, God made a choice to save a city, not Jonah's decision, not his plan. He says, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. So Jonah's now sitting in a spot where he is just wanting to die, man. He is miserable inside. God's made some choices, didn't ask his opinion on the deal, and Jonah's having a hard time dealing with it. So we're going to talk about this today, kind of what happens when our emotions consume us, because this has consumed Jonah. And what happens is when we're in a wrong spot, we'll see with Jonah, it takes him in a wrong direction. He begins to seek like temporary comfort. Life becomes all about him and not about other people. And this is a bad spot where it can take us too. So let's go to Jonah chapter 4. And today we're going to cover definitely verses 5 and 6, maybe into verse 7. And we'll see what God has for us. So let's pray together. And Father, take these words, lift them off the page, man, and put them into our hearts. We desperately need this, Lord. We are a people that struggle. Lord, it's hard to trust you sometimes. And we just want to make sure our hearts and minds are right, equal and right with you and on your plan and not our own agenda. So take your word today. Speak great volumes to us. Amen. Okay. Man, it says in Jonah 3, chapter 4 and verse 3 that he just like, man, God, I'd just rather die. You know, we got some serious depression here. And all of a sudden it says this in verse 4, then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Really? Jonah, you're going to be angry like this? And then in verse 5, it says, so Jonah went out of the city. He sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. So let's cover this, man. The first thing that Jonah does is it says that he went out of the city. He went out of the city and he sat on the east side of the city. This is interesting that Jonah decides that he's going to go out. This reminds me of Cain. Do you remember when Cain made the wrong sacrifice? God did not respect his offering. God wanted a blood sacrifice. And the Bible says that Cain, he says, he went out from the presence of the Lord. He went out. And so Jonah, not happy, he sees that the city has repented here. And so Jonah's like, I'm not having it, man. And so he goes out of the city, but he sat on the east side of the city. The east side. This is interesting because anytime you see God in the Bible move, he goes from east to west. This is the direction that our God moves. Matter of fact, we all know that famous verse in Psalms 103 and verse 12 that it says, as far as the east is from the west, God will remove our transgressions, right? East to west. You know, if you get north and south, right? Eventually, if you're north, or eventually as you travel, you're going to hit a spot where you start going south. Then once you hit the South Pole, you're going to start what? Heading in a direction of north. And, you know, when you go east to west, that's like an infinite line, man. It can't be measured. If you go to a globe, it becomes really clear. So, like, basically, if you start, like, if you're in Illinois and you decide to start going east, when do you hit a spot where you're going west? Well, never. Never. It's an infinite line, and that's why God chose to use this when he delivers us from our sin. He says he will do it as far as the east is from the west, man. They're going to be gone, right? That's exactly right. And this is where we live, right? Because the south as we can go would be, what, for you and me, it'd be the center of the earth, you know? Like, that's where hell's at, right? And then the North Star, man, the abode of God up clear in the north. And we live on this sphere. Yeah, we got a north and south pole, but the east and the west, it's the dwelling of man. Like, my gosh, and this line here is the line where God says, I'll remove your sin, and this is what I'll do. And so, east to west, we see it all through the Bible. Let me prove this to you. If you take your Bibles and you go to Genesis chapter 3, you know, in Genesis chapter 3, it says in verse 24, it says, and this is after, you know, sin entered the planet, right? It says in verse 23, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims. East of the garden. You can see that Adam was driven from the west to the east because he chose sin. God moves from east to west. We find it with Cain. When Cain goes out from the presence of the Lord in Genesis chapter 4, verse 16, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. East. That's right. Really, the wrong direction. Jacob, when he backslides and he wants to avoid Esau, Genesis chapter 29, same thing. He heads in an eastward direction. When the Jews are taken into captivity, guess what? They're taken into captivity. They're in the west. They're taken to the east. You go to the Bible in Acts chapter 16, you'll find that the gospel at one point is forbidden to go into Asia. And it's interesting because in that story, you'll find that that's going eastward. When basically the Bible says that God moves from east to the west. When Israel's taken captive, we see it's always this. Right? There's a story, it's kind of known, you know, we all probably heard of the song, the Western, Go West, Young Man, Go West. Back in 1854, a guy named Horace Greeley, he told Josiah Grinnell, he told him this, by the way, this Greeley guy was a New York editor, and he said, listen, he said, go west, young man, and grow up with the country. That's exactly what Grinnell did. Eventually, we find ourselves in Grinnell, Iowa. That's how that started. But go west, young man, go west. There's a proper direction that God wants us to go. And so what we find here is in the book of Jonah, is that when Jonah's mad, and he just decides he's going to go sit, and he's going to go sit at the east part of that city, he's going in the wrong direction now. When we're angry and we allow our emotions to take control, you know what happens to you and me? Yeah, you know, we just head in the wrong direction. There's a famous story on this too. And on New Year's Day of 1929, Georgia Tech played UCLA in the Rose Bowl. In that game, there's a young man, his name's Roy Riegels. He recovered a fumble for UCLA. He picked up the loose ball and he lost his direction, so he ran 65 yards running towards the wrong goal line. It was one of his own teammates that tackled him before he ran in and scored some points for the opposing team. Crazy story. He just got mixed up, started going the wrong direction. You know, human nature is we will naturally go the wrong direction. Do you know that? We will. And in the Bible, we see when men decide to go the wrong direction, it's in an eastwardly direction. And so we need to make sure that, you know, we keep our attitude in check, man, that you and me go in the direction God wants us to go. Don't let our emotions control us. And Jonah, he went out of the city, sat on the east side of that city. Just the wrong direction, man. So easy to go the wrong direction. You know, years ago, I didn't know much about, like, vehicles. And so I remember I had to change the oil filter in my truck. Well, I got underneath the truck is where I could reach it best. I put my feet out, my head in. I was all confused. Went and got an oil wrench. I couldn't bust this filter off for nothing. Finally, I bent it, man. I bent this oil wrench. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, what do I do? And finally, I made a phone call, and I had a guy tell me, he says, hey, man, get a long screwdriver, just drive it right through the middle of this thing and torque it. Torque it, but it'll eventually. Well, I discovered really quickly that I had been turning the wrong direction the entire time. Super easy to do. We see it all the time. And so, folks, God has compassion on us, but when you allow yourself, your emotions to run your life, it's very easy to go to an eastwardly direction, to go to a place where God really doesn't want us. And so this is exactly what happens with Jonah. He ends up going in an eastwardly direction, and it says, and there made him a booth. Isn't that funny? A booth. He made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow. So Jonah's kind of in pouting mode, man. He goes out towards out of the city to the east side. He makes himself a booth. You know what a booth is? We studied the book of Nehemiah, and we actually studied booths, and we learned what they were really for. A booth is like a rude, temporary shelter. Yeah, in Genesis chapter 33, they would make them for their cattle, like put up a temporary shelter. But what we found out is there was a time when Israel was traveling to get to the promised land, to the permanent place where God would want them to be. And God told them that what he wants on the journey, they would have to build booths, right? They were everything, even the tabernacle was all temporary. It could be folded up and carried. And this is how they lived their life till they got to the place where God wanted them to. Once they got to this place, God put together a feast, man, a feast. They called it the Feast of Tabernacles. And if you want to go in your Bible back to Leviticus chapter 23, Leviticus chapter 23, you'll find in verse 39, it says this: also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. You shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, of thick trees, and willow of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. It says in verse 41, it says this: you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generation. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All the our Israelites born shall dwell in booths. Basically, what he was doing is he said, you need to remember the time I took you out of Egypt. Take these tree branches and make like a temporary dwelling, a booth, a temporary place. But what it's for is so that you can look back and remember the time, even when your ancestors, when they dwelt in the wilderness, man, it'll remind you of those days and those times, now that I got you in a good permanent place. So it's basically a feast, but it's a feast of to remember, to look back and to see, man, it was rough, man. So to me, it's like camping, you know. You go camping and you live in a tent, and man, it can be fun for a bit. But what's really nice is when you get to come home. I know a lot of people that will go camping. sometimes for vacation on their last day, they'll get a hotel room. They'll go in to wash their clothes. They'll take a nice warm shower in a place. There's a TV, and, you know, almost like to break this. And this is similar here. This is what a booth is. It becomes like a temporary shelter. So this is what he did. He went, built himself this little shelter, and it says he wanted to sit under the shade of it, and he was going to watch what would happen to the city. Still watching, hoping God's hammer would come down and destroy this city. Man, he's in a bad spot. So when we're in a bad spot, we tend to go in the wrong direction, and then we seek a temporary comfort. That's exactly what people do. You know, I don't know if you realize this, but, you know, even I think of like Cain had a kid named Enoch. And when Enoch went from the presence of the Lord, they always go east. He built a city. It's the first city we find in the Bible. Like, anybody trying to get away from God, not happy about it, builds their own little shelter, their own little world. And that's why we have so many concrete jungles on this planet. And people, you know, deny the God that created them. We're not around nature. We make our own little, you know, worlds. And basically, it's like a type of forsaking God and everything that he wants for us. And, you know, the Bible says anything that we can see is temporary. We shouldn't live for the temporary, but that's what he does. We do. We constantly are living for this. Even if we know it hurts us, we live for temporary comfort. And this is what Jonah is doing here. He's sitting there at this booth. He's not, just a little bit of shade over his head, you know. And so, but he's not supposed to dwell here. We're not supposed to live there. And I want you to know today, if you find yourself in this spot, you've went the wrong direction. You've created this little world of temporary shade that you live in, and you know it's not right. You know you're not right with the Lord. You're not happy with maybe the spot he's got you in or what he's doing. And you're not supposed to live there, Christian. That's why there's a time for repentance where you got to turn and go back. Go towards the west. Live in a place where you're supposed to live, right? And so this is what we see here with Jonah. He made him a temporary booth, and he sat under the shadow. The shadow. You know what a shadow is? You know, basically, it can be protection. A shadow can be for, like, shade, you know, from the heat. But here, he just wanted to sit under the shadow of it. What's interesting about the shadows and the temporary comfort that we try to have, it don't cut it. And the reason we know this is if you look at the story, look at verse 6, Jonah 4, 6. The Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. So it says in verse 5, he made him a booth and sat under the shadow of this temporary booth he put together. But his temporary fleshly way of trying to bring comfort wasn't doing it. God was prepared. God made a gourd to grow up over him. And what happened? It provided a shadow over his head. And in verse 6 it says, and he was able, it delivered him. God wanted to deliver him from his grief. And so Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. So this tells me that the temporary booth that Jonah had built wasn't quite giving him the shade and the comfort he needed. So God put a gourd, which was still a temporary, but God got involved, put this up, and it delivered him from his grief. And so Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. Isn't this crazy? Don't take much for Jonah's emotions. All of a sudden now something quick overnight happens. Now I'm exceedingly glad, right? From wanting to die, wanting really his life to end, now all of a sudden being temporarily happy. He's not in a good spot. He's very fickle here. Human nature, we tend to do this. But notice there's a shadow. And I like this because this is not, there's different shadows in the Bible, but there's a shadow, there's a shade that our God provides, right? And we're not just talking about temporary relief because the Bible will speak of a shadow, like our days are but a shadow, like, right? Or a vapor, they're here and gone. 1 Chronicles 29:15 says days on earth are just like a shadow, meaning they're short. You know how shadows are. You can even watch one. You ever try to chase a shadow where as the sun goes down or up, you'll see it cast shadows and it moves very, very quickly. Years ago, that's how they kept time, was they used shadows. But they put a sundial and as the sun would move, it would cast a different shadow and they could tell kind of what time it was. Now, there is a shadow in the Bible. It's a shadow where there's no light. It's called the shadow of death. Matter of fact, when they talk about the tribulation period in Matthew 24, Jesus says, in those days the sun will be darkened. There will be no moon, no stars, no light. There's this shadow of death that goes around in the tribulation period. And anybody that falls under its shadow will die. Do you remember David speaks in Psalms 23? He goes, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah, this is a shadow of death. Psalms 44:19 says it's the place of the dragon. And it'll cover us with the shadow of death. It's a real shadow where there's no light. And people will really die under this shadow. It's death and gross darkness. But the shadow that we love is the shadow that God provides, right? Matter of fact, he says in Psalm 17 and verse 8 that he'll hide us under the shadow of his wings. That's right. When times are tough, when the wind's blowing hard, maybe the heat's getting us, you know, and he says here, and he puts us under the shadow of the Almighty, man. That's Psalms 91 verse 1. That's where me and you are live. That's where we're supposed to live. And so here he is seeking a shadow, building a booth. Jonah, like, I'll make my own shadow. I'll have my own comfort. Well, it's not working. So when God gets involved to really, only God can deliver from the human grief that's on the planet, right? And so we see that God in the Bible is actually provides the shadow. He's the great rock in a weary land, that he provides his hand as the shadow that we can hide under, right? And so let me practically throw something out at you here too. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 32, Jesus says we should have faith as a mustard seed. And this little seed will plant, it'll grow and get so big that it says even the fowls of the air will find shadow in its branches, man. They can rest in its branches. So our faith, we grow and it becomes a tree for others to find shade, a shadow for other people. Well, Jonah's not concerned about other people, is he? No, he just wants some temporary happiness and relief in his own life. And the Bible says for you and me in the New Testament that we should live a life for other people. He's the prophet of God, man. He is not happy that these Assyrians, the enemies of Israel, have repented and turned towards God. His people are not in the right spot. Why didn't he take that message back to his people and proclaim, guys, these people got right. We can repent and get right with God. But nope, he's just unhappy. Romans 14:19 says, we should follow the things that edify others. Even when the Bible speaks of spiritual gifts, it says God gives these gifts to edify other people, not for our own self-satisfaction. And this is where Jonah's at, man. Life is all about him. Man, he's created this booth on the east side of the city, and he's sitting under its shadow, man, and just trying to find a temporary relief, man, just some shortness, right? And then it says in verse 6, the Lord prepares this gourd. It comes up over Jonah overnight, and it says it delivers him from his grief. You know, he had some real grief, and delivery came when God got involved, when God decided that he was going to shadow him. And then, of course, Jonah was glad. But don't you like verse 6 where it says God prepared a gourd? Man, we've already learned this. God prepared a whale to swallow him. God prepares a gourd. We're going to see in verse 7, God prepares a worm to come in the next morning and it eats the gourd. Then God prepares a wind in verse 8 to come along. And so God is so prepared. And so for you and me, what we do is God is such a prepared God, we've got to prepare our hearts to seek him. That's the preparation on our part, the Bible says. 2 Chronicles 19:3. All over the Bible you find this. It says, prepare your heart to seek the Lord. With whatever God has, we're prepared just to seek him. Whatever he does, we're going to be okay with it. We prepare our heart, we prepare our ways before the Lord, right? And then if we mature enough, we're prepared to deal with whatever God brings in our life, then we want to prepare other people. Because Jesus is coming back, right? Then we become just like our God. We want, you know, the book of Amos, that prophet says, prepare to meet your maker. Yeah, you better be prepared because he's coming back. God's prepared. And so we need to make sure we're prepared to deal with everything that he might bring our way. We always say we want to do big things for God, or some people just want to do big things in life. The problem is, man, they're not prepared to really pay the price. Because usually before things get great, they get worse. And I found myself in this spot many and many a times. And I didn't prepare my heart well enough to go through the difficult darkness before there was going to be some great victory. So I just love that God is prepared here, and God prepared this gourd. And by the way, it says he wanted to deliver him from his grief. This is awesome, I think, because I think Jonah's grief is pretty childish, man. I think he's pretty immature. But you know, grief entered this planet when sin came along. That's right. David cries out in Psalms 31, man, I'm just grieved, man, because of my iniquity. Yeah, life on earth, if you go to the book of Ecclesiastes, right after the book of Psalms, there's a book of Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, then Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 22. It says, for what hath man all of his man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. See, this is life on planet Earth. It's grief. And it's a result of sin. Now, grief is on the planet. But in the Bible, if you study grief, there's some great reasons to grieve, man. Death, right? The Bible says death, especially parents that lose children, people that are childless, a foolish child, Proverbs 7, a kid that goes crazy and wayward in their iniquity brings their parents much grief. When Job lost everything, he lost his kids, he was just grieving. These are very good reasons to grieve. And then you look at those, and then you look at Jonah. God rescues a city. Even though they were Israel's enemies, they started turning towards the Lord, and he's upset about it. He's not happy about it. It just reminds me today of the grief that we carry. You know, everybody's struggling, man, with their mental health, and they're under grief. And I just want you to know that even though some of our grief is really not, to me, it's not merited, man. It's small time compared to some of the grief that we see other people have. I just want you to know that our God is so compassionate, he still wants to deliver from grief. That's right. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 32 says, his compassions fail not. Great is thy faithfulness. God is so faithful, man. Even though we are lame, man. We are lame sometimes in the way we grieve. Now, the big picture of grief is this. God sent Jesus Christ to die to take, you know, sin has stung us, man. It has caused much sorrow and grief. Well, he bore our griefs, Isaiah 53 says. Isaiah 53 is a great chapter on this, by the way. That God put our sin and our grief on Jesus Christ, and he delivered us. But, you know, life is tough, man, on this planet. And so we still have things that want to cause us grief. And boy, we got to find deliverance in God and in his word. It says God prepared this gourd, and the shadow could come over his head to deliver him from his grief. And then Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. And so just remember that God wants to deliver from our grief. God still has compassion, even in our pettiness, even in our ridiculousness. So when our emotions consume us and we're not happy with the situation, the circumstances God has us in or around, Jonah went the wrong direction. That's bad. Bad, and it says, and he sat, made himself a temper, but sat down. It's not time to sit down. Do you remember God calling out to Jonah and saying, I want you to arise and go to Nineveh. Get up and go do something right. So this is exactly, he goes opposite. It consumes him. He goes in the wrong direction, sits down, builds this temporary booth of comfort. Life is all about him. He ain't worried about other people. Matter of fact, he's sitting watching, waiting for the city like to be destroyed. And man, the Bible says this is not a good plan. This is why God comes along, prepares a gourd, and all of a sudden, overnight, Jonah becomes happy because there's some real shade. He finds some real deliverance from his grief. And then you'll see in verse 7, God prepared a worm. And the next morning, man, it smote that gourd and it withered. So all of a sudden, it's dry, there's no moisture, and all of a sudden, Jonah's in a bad spot again. See, one little thing changes. He's in a bad spot. And so, you know, life does this. There's a lot of ups and downs in life. We meet Jesus Christ, we got a solid foundation, and there's something consistent there where all these things don't run our lives, man. They do not ruin us. Matter of fact, a lot of times we should thrive in the midst of valleys and difficulty. But instead, sometimes we let our emotions take over and our flesh, and we just get a little bit crazy. This is where Jonah's at, man. Finally, Jonah's just fired up again, and you see in verse 8, you know, when the sun arose, God prepared an east wind. The sun beat upon Jonah's head. Then he fainted. And now all of a sudden he's back into wanting himself to die again. Isn't that crazy? From the east, notice the direction, there's a wind. And that east wind, the Bible says, that's a wind that'll break ships in Psalms chapter 48. But it comes along and now all of a sudden the circumstances changed a bit. And Jonah's fired up again wanting to die. So God is dealing with his servant and God is dealing with his heart and his mind. That's the toughest thing to change, even for you and me, right? It's our attitudes. It's our hearts. So anyways, we're going to wrap this up in Jonah chapter 4 and come back next week and see what happens. So just remember, it's real simple. But when our emotions consume us, we get angry. We get in our flesh. We're not happy with where God has us, what he's doing. It'll consume us. What happens? We go in a wrong direction. He goes east. We seek temporary comfort. It won't satisfy. Life becomes all about us, right? Only about us. We want that shadow for us. And we're in a grieving situation and we won't care about other people. And then the Bible says he sat under the shadow that he wanted to see what would become of the city. He's actually looking, just waiting for the fall of other people. Instead of the rescue of folks, he's wanting the fall of other people. This is what happens when we get off here, when we get off here as believers. So man, Jonah's been super incredible, right? And it's been awesome. And today I hope we get the lesson learned from Jonah that, man, we can't seek comfort. It's not time to sit down and stop. Jesus is coming back. We need to warn others. And so listen at this. There's the lust of comfort. And it says it's a this stealthy thing of comfort enters into our house as a guest. Then it becomes a host. Then it becomes our master. Man, Jonah's having a hard time getting out. And maybe you are too. I pray today you would turn to the Lord. Seek his face right now.